Now, if you would turn with me tonight to Psalm 57. Psalm 57, and we'll sing from we'll read from verse 1 down to the third verse. Psalm 57, and we'll read from verse 1 down to the third verse. Let us hear God's word. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven, and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Dear congregation, in the difficulties we face, let us look up to the Lord, place our trust in him, and earnestly pray. In Psalm 61, verse 1, the psalmist said, Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. And there the psalmist, his heart was overwhelmed. Yet he looked to the Lord and he placed his trust in him. And we note those words again. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. And that's exactly what he does here in verse 1 of this psalm. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. Now, if you turn to the title of this psalm, you'll note the occasion in which this psalm was penned. Now, we read here to the chief musician, Al-Tashkif, Mitchum of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Now we have this word here, Al-Teshkif, which means destroy not. This particular word is used four times in this psalm, the title, and also in the title Psalm 58, Psalm 59, and then further Psalm 75. Now in view of this psalm and the timing of this psalm, some believe that this word was uttered in light that David would not have Saul destroyed, 1 Samuel 24, verse 6 and verse 7. Some believe that. But rather, the psalmist here is desiring that his life is spared, for he was in great danger. Destroy not. In a moment, we'll note verse 4, My soul is among lions, Saul had come, and his men, he was in great danger. Destroy not. He's desiring that his life would be spared. Saul, enraged, had renewed his pursuit of David. And here, David desires to be spared. Well, in the providence of God, David came into the cave. We note that in the title. He seeks shelter. In providence, Saul too enters that cave. 1 Samuel 24. Well, there is David then. There in that place, he's desiring that the Lord would spare his life. And there in that place, he pens these words. He's underground and he's in great difficulty. Yet he looks up to the Lord and he cries out for mercy. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. There he is then. Listen to Spurgeon. This is a song from the bowels of the earth, and like Jonah's prayer from the bottom of the sea, it has a taste of the place. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. Just note one further thing in the title. We read it is a Mitchum of David. A golden psalm. A special psalm. And so it is. Well, let's come tonight to consider the opening two verses of the psalm. And as we do so, I'd like us to consider, first of all, crying unto the Lord. Secondly, trusting in the Lord. And then thirdly, resting in the Lord. The first two points were note from verse 1. But the final point from verse 2, resting in the Lord, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He's resting in the Lord and in the Lord's providence. So 3 points tonight, crying unto the Lord, trusting in the Lord, and then thirdly, resting in the Lord. Well, first of all, then crying unto the Lord. Verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. Then verse 2, I will cry unto God most high. David, in this difficult situation, whilst in the cave, cries earnestly to the Lord. He pours out his heart unto him. He talks with God. He's surrounded by his foes, yet he spends time to talk with the Lord. Well, dear brethren, let us go and talk with God. How privileged we are that we can go and we can address him as our heavenly Father. We can pour out our hearts. We can talk to him. He is so great, so holy. He hates our sin. Yet we can go and talk to him. Go to your heavenly Father. Go to your covenant God and commune with him. Cry out to him. And as you do so, ask him to bow down his ear and listen to your prayer. I just think he is the one that inhabits eternity. He is so great. But are we not asking him to listen to us? We're so small in comparison. But we're asking him to listen to us, dear brethren, in your difficulties. Go and ask him that he would bow down his ear and listen to you. Earnestly pray that in a favourable way he would have pity upon you, that he would hear you and help you. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Go to him. Pray for mercy. In Psalm 27, verse 7, we read, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. He desires God to listen to him. Not to hide his face, but no, to show his face and listen to him. Hear, O Lord, when I cry. I do not deserve to be heard. I do not deserve to know the smile of his face, but hear me. Thou art my Father, thou art my God. Be merciful unto me, O God. Go and talk to the Lord. Sincerely talk with him. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. He bids us come. And he bids us come in that sincere way, pouring out our hearts to him. Go to him. Pour out your heart. Earnestly cry. Go to him in that childlike way, in a sincere and proper way. When you're in some difficulty, cry out to the Lord. David's in the cave. We'll note this a little later. There he is. He's in difficulty. Cry out to him. David did not know the comforts of home here in the cave. He did not have the freedom he had previously enjoyed. He's in straits, but in those straits he cries out to the Lord. Just note the title again. When he fled from Saul in the cave, he's in that place. Yet he cries out to the Lord. Saul was pursuing David in rage, with great malice in his heart. David's life was in danger. He cries to the Lord. If you sense that you're in danger, or in some other difficulty, cry out to the Lord. A number of years ago, a certain missionary who served as a midwife in Ghana and Nigeria, found herself in great difficulty and in danger. Certain men were out to get her on a particular night. Her life was under threat. She prayed to the Lord. Stephen and Yolanda out in Ivory Coast many years ago found themselves in great danger as the bombs were going off. Under the tables they sang and they prayed to the Lord. If you are in danger, cry out to the Lord. When you're in the depths, cry out to him. In a moment, we'll sing those words in Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Sometimes we think long about the situation and we can become very anxious. One can be cast down. It does happen, doesn't it? We see the psalmist there in the depths. We can be in the depths because of our sin. That was the particular consideration in Psalm 130. In the depths, he feels his sin. But in such depths, in the depths of danger, in the depths of difficulty, cry out to the Lord. Lord, from the depths have I cried unto thee. From those depths, do not wait till you're taken out of them. Pray, cry unto the Lord earnestly in those depths. David's in the cave. He's underground. Cry to the Lord. Consider further here. There was a measure of darkness in the cave. A number of years ago, I went to Cheddar. I went to Gough's cave. And there were some dark places in that cave. Yes, there was some lighting, but there were dark places. And there are some dark times. In affliction it can seem dark. Isaiah 50 verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and have no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Walking in darkness. David's in the cave. There is a measure of darkness. There are times when we walk in the darkness of affliction. Well, when you're walking in the darkness of affliction, look up to him. Cry earnestly. Providences at times can seem dark and mysterious. Things are not plain. It's not how one might think it should be. It's dark. Cry out to the Lord. Just consider David. He's in the cave. It's dark and he's crying out to the Lord. He's surrounded by danger, yet he earnestly prays. Cry to your Heavenly Father. Remember, he is your Heavenly Father, and you are a child. You've been adopted in that gracious act. You're in the family because of what Jesus has done, and because of the Holy Spirit, you can cry, Abba, Father. You're in the family. He is your Heavenly Father. Go to him. Cry out to him. Pour out your heart to him. We know what we're to do, but we need to be reminded again and again as children. You know, often the father or the mother will remind the child over and over again what they are to do. We need reminding. We know, but we need reminding. Cry out to the Lord. Pour out your heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 62 verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Trust when? At all times. And pour out your heart. Every day and in every situation. Pour it out. Cry to the Lord. Here's David, he's in the cave. He's pouring out his heart to the Lord. Verse 2, I will cry unto God Most High. Pour out your heart, says the psalmist in Psalm 62, verse 8. The Hebrew word which is translated as pour could also be translated to spill forth. A number of years ago at the wedding reception of Mark and Naomi, there was a jug of water on the table that I was sitting around, and my young son knocked it over, and the water just spilled and flowed right towards me, and I sat the rest of the time drenched. The water flowed. It poured full. Are you pouring your words forth to the Lord? Is your heart being poured forth? Pour out your heart to the Lord. Let your words flow in God's direction. Now let's note these words in verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. Here he is. He's pouring out his heart and he's praying for mercy. Be merciful. The Hebrew word at the root has the meaning of to bend or stoop in kindness. To have pity, to grant, be merciful, stoop in kindness towards me. Have pity, grant me my request, for I am in great need. John Brown of Haddington gives some helpful definitions. We think of mercy. Affectionate pity to such are as in misery and distress, and a readiness to do them good. Kind acts proceeding from inward compassion, and a desire to relieve such as are in misery and in want. Mercy. Be merciful. Show pity. Stoop to me. Show kindness towards me. Now at this point, I'd like us to consider three things. As we think of earnestly crying out to the Lord and praying for mercy. Firstly, recognizing God is a God of mercy. We're to earnestly cry, believing in him, believing and recognizing he is a God of mercy. Would we go to him if we did not recognize afresh he is a God of mercy? Verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. He desires that God would stoop in kindness towards him, that he would show mercy. He therefore recognizes that God is a God of mercy. We're praying for mercy, and we're desiring to receive mercy from none other but the Lord. Recognize God is a God of mercy. And this is not an aid to prayer. When we're in straits, we're in difficulty, there are needs, as we shall note in a moment, recognizing God is a God of mercy who meets one's needs is an aid to prayer. God is a God of mercy. Psalm 103 verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in merciful. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is. It's not questioned. He is. Merciful. One of his attributes, isn't it? And he's plenteous in mercy. Psalm 116 verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Think of the one you're going to in prayer. He is merciful. Luke 6 verse 36. Our Lord said, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Consider your heavenly Father. He is merciful. You as a child, earnestly cry to him and recognize that he is your merciful heavenly Father. Dear brethren, he is rich in mercy. Ephesians 2 verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. He's rich in it. Wealthy, abounding. And then think his mercy is eternal. Psalm 103 verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, everlasting to everlasting. He's always been a God of mercy, and he will always be a God of mercy. There's no end to his mercy. His mercy is everlasting. It is eternal. There's mercy to be had tonight and mercy to be had tomorrow. There's no exhausting the mercy of God. His mercy is eternal. David recognizes that God is a God of mercy. And dear brethren, that's why we go to him, isn't it? Because we know that he is a God of mercy. Secondly here, recognizing one's need. Recognizing one's need. Be merciful unto me. David's in the cave. He's surrounded by danger. Saul was there. Be merciful unto me. In verse 1, he writes of his calamities. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. He's in the midst of calamities. He's in need. Just note verse 4, my soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. What danger! What a great need he had. Dear brethren, we have many needs. The need of provision, of help, strength, protection, deliverance. On we could go. So many needs. The psalmist said in Psalm 70, verse 5, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my helper, my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarry. I'm poor and needy. I'm poor, afflicted, and I am in need. Be merciful unto me. Here's the psalmist. He recognizes his need. Even when we're in the green pastures, we have needs, don't we? Every day we have needs. We have needs in the green pastures. We have needs in the valleys. Recognize your need. You need mercy tonight. You need mercy when you awake. You need mercy all the day long. In every situation, you are in need. David here, he recognizes his need in these straits. When you are in straits, recognize your need. You need the God of mercy. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Thirdly, desiring mercy. Is that not why we earnestly pray? Desiring mercy. Be merciful unto me. Be merciful. He desired it. He desires that God would take pity, that mercy would be sent his way. Do not we desire mercy? Be merciful unto me. We recognize that God is a God of mercy. We recognize our need, for it is mercy to those in need, and we desire mercy. Be merciful unto me. David here in the cave desired the mercy of God. And do not we in all the afflictions we face desire the mercy of God and in every situation. We cannot face the battle alone. The valley is too difficult to tread through without mercy accompanying us. Do not we desire mercy. The psalmist said in Psalm 4, verse 1, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Have. He desires it. Psalm 25, verse 16, turn unto me. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Turn. He's praying there that God would so turn and think on him in a gracious way and show him mercy, for he desired it. Turn, Lord, do not hide thy face, but turn to me, for I desire mercy. Psalm 123, verse 2, behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. There's the psalmist. The psalmist is looking. The people of God are looking. Their eyes are upon the Lord, until he has mercy on them. The look of the eye, the looking to the God of mercy. Think of a child when they desire something. They look at their parent. And the parent may turn and see the look of their eyes. They want something, they need something. And the child keeps looking. The child desires mercy. Oh, dear brethren, keep looking. Show to the Lord your desire. Keep looking to him. Our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Are we not looking to God for mercy? We desire mercy. We think about God then when we earnestly cry. We consider our situation that we are poor and needy, and with a heart stirred, do not we desire mercy? Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpast. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, and God will hear your cry. Psalm 18, verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. He's not unmindful. There's the psalmist in distress. He cries, and the Lord heard, and his cry came before him. We think there of Christ also. And because of Christ who was heard, as we see in Hebrews, we are heard. And just think of this. Because of Christ and because of God's grace, our prayers are heard before him. And my cry came before him. We pray, we make that sincere prayer. We earnestly cry for mercy. And the words we utter in our hearts or from our hearts come before the Lord. And he will have mercy. Cry out to the Lord for mercy. Secondly, and more briefly, trusting in the Lord. Crying to the Lord. Secondly, trusting in the Lord. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpast. Be merciful unto me, O God, for my soul trusteth in thee. He knew what it was here in the cave to place his trust in the Lord because he knew the Lord. David had a real union with the Lord. He knew the Messiah. So plain is it not in Psalm 45. I remember many years ago, a certain minister not too far away, not north of here, of course, saying to me, you don't see much of Christ in the Psalms. Go to Psalm 45 and you'll see the psalmist's heart so taken up with Christ that some of us rarely know. His heart was so boiling within. David had a real union with the Lord. He knew him. What a blessing to know the Lord. What a blessing to know the one we go to in prayer. He's not a stranger, is he? We're in union with the Lord. What a blessing to be found in union, to be found trusting in him. Now David, as one who was trusting the Lord, was in hope of mercy. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. He's fled to the Lord, and he's hopeful, and he's this great hope of mercy. Note these words, for my soul trusteth in thee. It's coming from his heart. And this trust was not just something he spake of, but it was a reality in his heart. And dear brethren, what a blessing to know the reality in our hearts when we find ourselves placing our hope, placing our trust in the Lord. Yes, in that initial way we trusted him. But then there's the exercise of hope, and we're found trusting in the Lord. We're found hoping in him. It's not just something on our lips. It's something we know in our souls. For my soul trusteth in thee. My soul. Not just in the head, but it's in the heart. There's this exercise of faith, and there's this exercise of hope. One's placing their hope in the Lord, their trust in him. There's an interesting Hebrew word, which is translated here as trusteth. It speaks of to have hope, to put trust in, or to flee for protection. Now the same Hebrew word is translated later in the middle of the psalm as refuge. For my soul trusteth in thee. And then we read, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. It's the same Hebrew word. In the first place translated as trusteth, in the second place translated as refuge. And that helps us to understand what the Hebrew word means, does it not? David was trusting in the Lord. He had committed his life to the Lord. And he was trusting here the Lord with his soul. It was from his heart. His hope was in him. He had fled to the Lord for refuge. He had fled away from Saul and found refuge in the cave. But here he's finding refuge in the Lord. His hope was in him. Remember what Boaz said of Ruth. Ruth 2 verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And it's beautifully described there, isn't it? Under whose wings thou art come to trust. There Ruth had fled to the Lord for refuge, and she was sheltered under the wings of the Lord. She had come to trust in him. She had committed herself to his care and protection. She had been given faith, and she found herself sheltered under the Lord. Dear brethren, that is our blessed position. We have faith. We have fled to him for refuge. His wrath will not find us out and punish us. We are found trusting in him. But let's consider tonight, in difficulties, let us be putting our trust in him. Let's be exercising hope, placing our hope in him. Flee to him. He is the refuge. Flee to your refuge. That's what the psalmist has done here. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. I fled to thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. On Monday down in Christchurch, we were just coming back to the car park when the heavens opened. We ran to the car and we all got in and we laughed because we were drenched. We weren't far from the car, but we just got drenched. Well, we ran for cover. Oh, run for cover as the calamity comes down upon you, as the storm clouds of adversity break. Flee to your refuge. You have a refuge. Will you not flee to your refuge? Consider what the Lord is telling us here through the psalmist. He's telling us in the afflictions to flee to him. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will make my refuge in him. I will flee to him. It's activity, isn't it? When the storm breaks, go to your heavenly Father. Psalm 143, verse 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. I flee unto thee to hide me. James Smith, in the Daily Remembrancer, wrote this: let us flee to him by prayer and faith with hope for salvation, and he will receive us, shelter us, and be our refuge and strength. Flee from sin, from self, from the world, but flee to Jesus. His heart is ever toward us, his ear is open to us, and his hand is ready to help, protect, and deliver us. Flee to the Lord. When it rains, do you just stand there and get wet? Or do you run? Just see what the children do. They run. Why are we so slow to run at times? Flee to your refuge. He is a refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's ours. He's given himself over to us. He's our refuge. We have a refuge. We have one to go to. He does not turn us away. All that the Father giveth shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He did not in that initial way, or on any subsequent occasions will he turn us away. And so when we need that place of refuge, he will not turn your way. We have a refuge. Proverbs 14 verse 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. There's no doubt, there's no question. You've got that refuge. In straits go to the refuge. Charles Bridge wrote, such as they need, and when they need. He's David, he's in the cave. He's in his refuge. He's fled to the Lord. In Isaiah 32 verse 2 we read, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And as you think of the Lord there, you're sheltered by him, you're comforted by him, you're revived by him, and refreshed by him. And what a blessing, even in straits, to be revived and refreshed because of the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Flee to your refuge. But thirdly and finally tonight, resting in the Lord. Resting in the Lord. Verse 2. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. David's in trouble, yet he's resting in God. And in the providence of God. Just note these words. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. The Hebrew word gomor means to end in the sense of completion, to perfect. Just turn with me to Psalm 138 verse 8. Psalm 138 verse 8. Here's a psalm again about the providence of God. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. He brings to completion. He performeth all things. That is in his providence. There is left nothing half done. All things are completed for our good and in accordance to his purposes and promises. He performeth. That performeth all things for me. He's governing. He's preserving. He in his providence is bringing through to completion. Romans 8 verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. All things. At times we do not understand. But all things work together for good. He performeth all things for me. He's performing. John Flavel, the Puritan, wrote, who performeth all things. And it involves the most strict and proper notion of providence, which is nothing else but the performance of God's gracious purposes and promises to his people. He's performing at this very moment all things for you. He performs in his providence what he has purposed for us, what he has promised. He engages to fulfill. There is the performance of providence. Now his providence is most holy and wise, and it extends to all things. He was preserving David. David was fed. David was kept. He was governing David. He was leading and directing David's steps. We see that so clearly in 1 Samuel 24. Proverbs 16 verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. The Lord directs. David recognized the Lord's hand. The Lord's hand of direction. The Lord's hand of governing and preserving. And he rests in him. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. There are certain things you do not understand. But remember this, God performeth all things for me. All things for our good. And David rests in this. He's in a cave, there's a measure of darkness. He's in danger. Saul has come. But he's resting in the Lord and in his providence. There are no mistakes in the providence of God. Unto God that performeth all things for me. All things. Therefore will you not cry to him who performeth all things for you. No one else performs all things for you, but the Lord does. David rests in this great truth, and he turns to the Lord in prayer. Dear brethren, flee to your refuge and rest in him. Amen.